In the world of investment wisdom, few resources rival the annual meetings of Berkshire Hathaway. Each year, tens of thousands of investors make the pilgrimage to Omaha, Nebraska, transforming the city into what Warren Buffett calls Woodstock for capitalists. What began as intimate gatherings of just a dozen shareholders in the early 1980s has evolved into a massive event drawing over 40,000 attendees. The book, University of Berkshire Hathaway, by Daniel Picott and Corey Wren, has become something of a cult classic among serious investors, offering 30 years of distilled wisdom from these legendary meetings. Bill Gates calls it the best book I've read on Warren Buffett, while Guy Spier describes it as the next best thing to being there in person. This remarkable compilation captures not just investment principles, but the evolution of two extraordinary minds navigating through bubbles, crashes, and transformative economic shifts, all while building one of history's greatest business empires. At its core, value investing, as practiced by Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, is deceptively simple. Benjamin Graham, Buffett's mentor and the father of value investing, distilled the approach to two variables, price and value. Value represents what a business is worth, while price is what you pay to acquire it. The market's manic depressive behavior creates opportunities where a business's market price significantly diverges from its true value, allowing investors to purchase a dollar of value for just 50 cents. This approach deliberately ignores interest rates, economic forecasts, technical charts, and market cycles, focusing solely on price and value. Graham emphasized maintaining a large margin of safety, not merely buying a dollar of value for 97 cents, but seeking a dramatic gap to absorb miscalculations and bad luck. As Buffett puts it, when you build a bridge, you insist it can carry 30,000 pounds, but you only drive 10,000-pound trucks across it. What separates Buffett from other Graham disciples is his evolution beyond strict quantitative analysis. While Graham focused primarily on balance sheets and tangible assets, Buffett developed an extraordinary ability to identify and value intangibles like management talent, brand power, and competitive moats. This shift enabled him to recognize the value of companies like Coca-Cola, See's Candy, and American Express when traditional value metrics might have missed their worth. The Berkshire approach also rejects modern portfolio theory's emphasis on diversification. Munger calls diversification twaddle for knowledgeable investors, arguing that three wonderful businesses are more than enough and serve better than 100 average ones. Buffett adds that diversification is a protection against ignorance, noting that if you understand businesses well, wide diversification makes little sense. Perhaps most importantly, Buffett and Munger recognize that successful investing requires the right temperament more than raw intelligence. As Buffett frequently notes, once you have ordinary intelligence, what you need is the temperament to control the urges that get other people into trouble in investing. This includes the discipline to wait for the fat pitch, the rare, compelling opportunity, rather than swinging at everything that comes along. Berkshire Hathaway's transformation from a struggling New England textile mill into one of the world's most valuable companies represents one of capitalism's most remarkable stories. The journey began in 1965, when Buffett, irritated by what he perceived as chiseling on a stock repurchase agreement, acquired control of Berkshire. He later called this decision monumentally stupid, as textiles were a dying industry with poor economics. What saved this terrible business was Buffett's capital allocation genius. Rather than pouring money into the declining textile operations, he used the company's cash flow to acquire businesses with better economics. The first transformative acquisition came in 1967 when Berkshire purchased National Indemnity, an insurance company, for $8.4 million. This move introduced Buffett to the concept of float, the money held between when premiums are collected and when claims are paid. This float could be invested, creating a powerful wealth compounding machine. From modest beginnings of just $17 million in 1967, Berkshire's insurance float has grown to over $70 billion, effectively providing interest-free leverage for investments. Another pivotal moment came in 1972 with the acquisition of See's Candy for $25 million. This purchase taught Buffett about the power of brands and capital-light businesses that could grow without requiring substantial reinvestment. See's has since generated over $1.5 billion in profits for Berkshire while requiring minimal additional capital. As Berkshire grew, its acquisition strategy evolved. In the early years, Buffett focused on cigar butt investments, deeply undervalued companies with limited upside. Influenced by Munger, he shifted toward acquiring wonderful businesses at fair prices rather than fair businesses at wonderful prices. This philosophy led to investments in companies like Geico, fully acquired in 1995, Coca-Cola, American Express, and eventually massive acquisitions like Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad and PacifiCorp. Today, Berkshire operates as a conglomerate with over 60 wholly owned subsidiaries spanning insurance, utilities, railroads, manufacturing, retail, and services. The company employs over 360,000 people and ranks among America's largest corporations. What makes this structure work, unlike most conglomerates, is Berkshire's decentralized approach, what Munger calls decentralization to the point of abdication. Headquarters staff remains minimal, with Buffett focusing on capital allocation while allowing subsidiary CEOs to run their businesses independently. Insurance forms the bedrock of Berkshire's success, providing both substantial earnings and the float that supercharges investments. Buffett describes float as similar to an interest-free loan that, in Berkshire's case, actually pays them to hold it through underwriting profits. The insurance operation began with National Indemnity in 1967, but expanded dramatically through acquisitions including Geico and General Re. Geico particularly exemplifies Berkshire's approach to building competitive advantage. Its direct-to-consumer model eliminates agent commissions, creating a sustainable cost advantage in the commodity auto insurance business. Under Berkshire's ownership, Geico's market share has grown from 2.5% in 1995 to nearly 10% today, with Buffett valuing each policy at approximately $1,500, creating billions in value not reflected on financial statements. Berkshire's reinsurance operations, led by the legendary Ajit Jain, provide another competitive advantage. Unlike competitors who avoid large risks, Berkshire deliberately seeks them out, writing policies with potential billion-dollar exposures that others won't touch. This willingness to absorb massive but properly priced risks has allowed Berkshire to collect enormous premiums while competitors stand aside. The insurance operations demonstrate Berkshire's contrarian approach. When insurance markets harden and prices rise, Berkshire writes more business. When markets soften and prices fall below rational levels, they're willing to shrink dramatically, once allowing National Indemnity's premium volume to contract by 80%. This discipline requires ignoring industry norms and Wall Street expectations, something few public companies can manage. By 2015, Berkshire's insurance float had grown to approximately $70 billion, effectively providing interest-free leverage for investments. This structural advantage compounds over time, as Buffett can invest these funds in stocks, bonds, or whole businesses, while competitors must maintain more conservative portfolios due to regulatory constraints and shorter time horizons. Buffett has pioneered capital allocation as a critical business function, noting that most CEOs rise to the position without proper training in this area. The results speak for themselves. From 1965 to 2015, Berkshire's per-share book value grew at a compound annual rate of 19.4% compared to 9.9% for the S&P 500, including dividends. This extraordinary performance stems from Buffett's disciplined approach to deploying capital. He evaluates each dollar based on opportunity cost, where it will generate the highest risk-adjusted return. Corporations have five options for each dollar earned: reinvest in the business, acquire other businesses, pay down debt, pay dividends, or repurchase shares. Buffett's genius lies in consistently making the right choice among these alternatives. Berkshire's acquisition criteria illustrate this discipline. Buffett seeks businesses with consistent earning power, good returns on equity, little debt, simple business models, and honest, capable management. He's willing to pay premium prices for businesses with sustainable competitive advantages, what he calls economic moats, while avoiding industries prone to rapid change or requiring constant capital reinvestment. Perhaps most importantly, Buffett maintains the patience to wait for the right opportunity. As he puts it, the stock market is a no-called strike game. You don't have to swing at everything. You can wait for your pitch. This patience allowed Berkshire to deploy massive amounts of capital during market crises, including $15-plus billion during the 2008 financial panic when others were paralyzed by fear. The evolution of Berkshire's capital allocation strategy reflects changing circumstances. In early years, when Berkshire was smaller, Buffett focused on capital-light businesses that generated cash without requiring reinvestment. As Berkshire grew to hundreds of billions in market value, he shifted toward capital-intensive businesses like railroads and utilities that could absorb billions in investment at reasonable returns. Throughout this evolution, Buffett has maintained his focus on intrinsic business value, what a company would be worth to a private buyer. By consistently allocating capital to increase this intrinsic value, he's created a compounding machine that has delivered extraordinary returns for decades. Central to Buffett and Munger's investment philosophy is the concept of economic moats, sustainable competitive advantages that protect businesses from competition. Munger describes the ideal business as having a wide and long-lasting moat around a terrific castle with an honest lord. These moats take various forms. Some come from being the low-cost producer, like Geico in auto insurance or Costco in retail. Others derive from powerful brands that command consumer loyalty and premium pricing, such as Coca-Cola, See's Candy, or Gillette. Network effects create moats for businesses like American Express, where merchant acceptance and consumer usage reinforce each other. Scale advantages protect companies like Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad, which owns irreplaceable assets that would cost multiples of their market value to replicate. Buffett particularly values businesses where the moat is widening rather than narrowing. He notes that time is the friend of the wonderful business, but the enemy of the mediocre one. Companies with strong moats can often raise prices to offset inflation while requiring minimal additional capital to grow, the ideal combination for long-term wealth creation. The moat concept explains why Berkshire avoids certain industries despite their apparent growth potential. Technology businesses often face rapid change and uncertain competitive positions, making their moats difficult to evaluate. Commodity businesses like airlines historically struggled with oversupply and price competition, eroding returns despite growing demand. As Buffett quipped about the airline industry, if a far-sighted capitalist had been present at Kitty Hawk, he would have done his successors a huge favor by shooting Orville down. This focus on moats extends to Berkshire's wholly owned businesses. When acquiring companies, Buffett seeks operations with sustainable competitive advantages rather than turnaround situations. He famously told managers, "We want businesses to be one that will be around for 25 years or more and will continue to have a competitive advantage." The moat concept explains Berkshire's remarkable consistency. While other conglomerates have come and gone, Berkshire continues to compound wealth decade after decade by owning businesses protected by wide economic moats, managed by capable operators, and supported by Buffett's capital allocation skills. Buffett and Munger's approach to risk management stands in stark contrast to conventional Wall Street practices. While many financial institutions rely on complex mathematical models and dedicated risk departments, Buffett serves as Berkshire's chief risk officer and focuses on common sense principles rather than elaborate formulas. The foundation of Berkshire's risk management is maintaining financial strength regardless of economic conditions. Buffett insists on keeping at least $20 billion in cash reserves, even when this cash drag weighs on short-term returns. This fortress balance sheet allows Berkshire to weather severe market disruptions and capitalize on opportunities when others are forced to sell. Berkshire's approach to risk begins with avoiding what Buffett calls the three major poisons in business and investment: excessive leverage, permanent capital impairment, and going with the crowd. By maintaining minimal debt, carefully analyzing downside scenarios, and thinking independently, Berkshire sidesteps the pitfalls that have destroyed many seemingly successful companies. Munger summarizes their philosophy: "All I want to know is where I'm going to die, so I'll never go there." This inversion approach, focusing on avoiding catastrophic mistakes rather than maximizing gains, has served Berkshire remarkably well through multiple market cycles. This risk management approach extends to Berkshire's insurance operations, where they deliberately avoid writing business they don't understand. As Buffett notes, "We want to be there tomorrow. We would rather miss an opportunity than do something where we can't calculate the downside." Perhaps most importantly, Buffett and Munger recognize that risk often hides in plain sight during good times. As Buffett famously said, "Only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked." This awareness of human nature's tendency toward excess during booms has helped Berkshire avoid the devastating losses that periodically sweep through financial markets. The 2008 financial crisis validated Berkshire's approach. While many financial institutions required government bailouts or failed entirely, Berkshire not only survived but thrived, deploying billions in capital when opportunities were greatest. As Buffett told shareholders, "In a cataclysm, Berkshire would definitely be the last man standing." As Buffett and Munger have aged, reaching their 80s and 90s, increasing attention has focused on whether Berkshire's extraordinary culture can survive their eventual departure. Both men express confidence that the values they've instilled will endure. Berkshire's culture begins with decentralization. Unlike most large corporations with layers of management and extensive oversight, Berkshire operates with minimal headquarters staff and maximum subsidiary autonomy. As Munger describes it, decentralization to the point of abdication. This approach attracts owner-oriented managers who value independence and long-term thinking over quarterly earnings pressure. Trust forms another cornerstone of the Berkshire way. Buffett famously operates without extensive legal contracts or due diligence teams, preferring to deal with people of integrity. As he puts it, "We look for three things: intelligence, energy, and integrity. If they don't have the last one, the first two will kill you." This trust extends to shareholders, whom Buffett treats as partners rather than anonymous investors. His annual letters explain business principles with remarkable transparency, acknowledging mistakes alongside successes. This candor has attracted a shareholder base with extraordinarily long holding periods. Berkshire's annual share turnover averages just 14% compared to 79% for Walmart and 76% for ExxonMobil. Berkshire's compensation practices reinforce its culture. Unlike most public companies with elaborate incentive schemes designed by consultants, Berkshire uses simple arrangements tied directly to factors managers can control. There are no stock options or complicated metrics, just clear goals aligned with building long-term value. Perhaps most importantly, Berkshire has become a destination of choice for business owners looking to sell. The company's reputation for keeping acquired businesses intact, retaining management teams, and maintaining the cultures that made them successful creates a unique acquisition advantage. As one seller put it, "There was only one buyer for my business, and that was Berkshire Hathaway." To ensure this culture continues beyond his tenure, Buffett has established a succession plan with his son Howard as non-executive chairman to preserve culture and carefully selected executives to manage operations and investments. While acknowledging that Berkshire's extraordinary growth rate will inevitably slow due to its size, both Buffett and Munger express confidence that the company's fundamental approach will endure for decades to come. Despite their remarkable success, Buffett and Munger readily acknowledge numerous mistakes throughout their careers. Rather than hiding these errors, they analyze them extensively, seeking to extract valuable lessons. This willingness to examine failures represents a key component of their learning system. Buffett categorizes mistakes into three types: errors of omission, opportunities missed; errors of commission, poor investments made; and failure to recognize changing industry dynamics. He considers errors of omission particularly costly, noting that failing to purchase Walmart when he identified it as undervalued cost Berkshire shareholders approximately $10 billion. Similarly, Buffett acknowledges missteps like the initial purchase of Berkshire Hathaway itself, a declining textile business, Dexter Shoes, which eventually became worthless, and U.S. Airways, which nearly bankrupted. From these experiences, he developed an increasing focus on businesses with sustainable competitive advantages rather than apparent bargains in challenging industries. Munger particularly emphasizes the concept of inversion, approaching problems backward by focusing on what to avoid rather than what to pursue. As he puts it, "All I want to know is where I'm going to die, so I'll never go there." This approach has helped them sidestep numerous investment fads and market bubbles that ensnared others. Both men credit their partnership with enhancing decision quality through constructive disagreement. Munger notes that while they share core principles, their different perspectives help identify potential pitfalls. Buffett adds that having a trusted partner who will tell you when you're making a mistake is invaluable. Perhaps most importantly, Buffett and Munger maintain what Carol Dweck would call a growth mindset, continuously learning and adapting their approach based on experience. Munger describes Buffett as a learning machine who has evolved significantly from his early Graham-style investing toward a more qualitative approach focused on business quality and competitive advantage. This commitment to learning extends beyond investment decisions to broader life principles. As Munger advises, go to bed smarter than when you woke up. This dedication to continuous improvement, combined with their willingness to acknowledge and learn from mistakes, has been instrumental in their sustained success over decades. Throughout their annual meetings, Buffett and Munger balance remarkable optimism about America's long-term prospects with clear-eyed concerns about specific challenges facing the economic system. Their perspective spans decades, providing historical context often missing from contemporary discussions. Buffett consistently expresses faith in American capitalism's ability to generate prosperity. He notes that during his lifetime, real per capita GDP has increased sixfold despite wars, recessions, and political turmoil. For 240 years, it's been a terrible mistake to bet against America, he observes, pointing out that the country has overcome far greater challenges than those it currently faces. At the same time, both men identify significant concerns. Buffett has repeatedly warned about America's persistent trade deficit, describing it as trading Manhattan for trinkets as the country sells assets to fund consumption beyond its production. Healthcare costs represent another major worry, with Buffett calling medical expenses the tapeworm of American industry, as they consume 17% of GDP compared to 10% in competitor nations. Financial system stability remains a perennial concern. Buffett and Munger warned about derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction years before the 2008 crisis, and continue to caution about systemic risks from complex financial instruments and excessive leverage. Munger particularly criticizes the growing financialization of the economy, arguing that too many talented people are drawn to trading rather than productive enterprise. Income inequality represents another challenge they acknowledge. Buffett notes that while capitalism is an extraordinary system for creating wealth, it doesn't ensure its equitable distribution. He supports progressive taxation, including higher rates on investment income, while maintaining that capitalism remains the best system for improving living standards broadly. Despite these concerns, both men remain fundamentally optimistic. They view America's adaptability and entrepreneurial culture as powerful forces for addressing challenges. Munger expresses particular enthusiasm about technological progress, especially in renewable energy, predicting that solar power will eventually solve many of humanity's resource constraints. Their perspective on capitalism might be summarized as appreciative but clear-eyed, recognizing both its unparalleled ability to create prosperity and its inherent tendencies toward excess that require thoughtful regulation and occasional correction. As Buffett puts it, the game of economic progress is one of being an intelligent participant in a positive-sum game. The University of Berkshire Hathaway offers far more than investment advice. It provides a framework for thinking about business, risk, and life itself. Through three decades of annual meetings, Buffett and Munger have shared insights that transcend financial markets to address fundamental questions of decision-making, learning, and creating lasting value. Their approach emphasizes rational thinking over emotional reactions. As Buffett notes, the most important quality for an investor is temperament, not intellect. This focus on psychological discipline, remaining fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful, has allowed them to capitalize on market extremes rather than being victimized by them. Both men advocate lifelong learning across disciplines. Munger's latticework of mental models draws from fields as diverse as psychology, mathematics, biology, and engineering to create a multifaceted decision framework. This interdisciplinary approach helps avoid the specialized blindness that often afflicts experts in a single field. Perhaps most importantly, they demonstrate that success and integrity need not be in conflict. Throughout their careers, Buffett and Munger have emphasized ethical behavior not merely as a moral imperative, but as a practical business advantage. Their reputation for fair dealing has attracted opportunities that wouldn't otherwise be available, creating a virtuous cycle of trust and performance. The wisdom of Buffett and Munger reminds us that fundamental principles endure despite changing circumstances. Technology evolves, industries transform, and economic conditions fluctuate, but the core elements of successful business and investment remarkably consistent. Focus on value, think long-term, maintain financial strength, partner with quality people, and stay within your circle of competence. As we navigate an increasingly complex world, these timeless principles offer a valuable compass. The University of Berkshire Hathaway stands as a testament to the power of clear thinking, disciplined execution, and unwavering integrity, lessons that extend far beyond the realm of investment to touch on how we might lead more successful, meaningful lives.